How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer with you on a Thursday morning on WBEN. Nice to have you back, Joe.
Oh, Brian, it's nice to be back, refreshed and ready to bring on the day.
It's part of our election night coverage. You should have been on around the clock. 47 votes. You hear that?
Yeah. 40. I mean, if you don't think your vote counts,
right? I was saying that yesterday. You know, it's how many examples do you need, especially in these elections with low turnout?
You also yesterday were talking about the red lights and right on red. Can I just say, I did a lot of walking this summer with my son in his stroller, and I am very good when I'm with my son, right? I'm not looking at my phone. Now, when it's just me, Brian, I might be a little distracted. Mm-hmm. But with him, I have, you know, headphones in but down so I can hear around me, and I'm just looking at what's going on. The amount of times that I would, you know, start walking and someone's just, you are supposed to stop before mm-hmm. making the right-hand turn. And you just see the people roll through the light. You
know, oh, my.
Roll through the light and go right. Let me tell you, that's one that sticks with me. My first ever traffic ticket when I was 17, was rolling through a stoplight. And you see it every day.
Yeah. I cannot believe I was talking about this yesterday. I completely forgot. It happened to me, I think it was Sunday morning. My wife and I were taking the dogs out for a walk. And we were right. I don't know what intersection we were on, but someone texted in yesterday saying that, you know, pedestrians forget just because there's a green light doesn't mean that it's a green for you to go. And that depends on the intersection. 100% depends on the intersection. If there's no crosswalk sign, you know, white walking guy, red hand, right? The green light does mean you go.
Yeah. Well, actually,
it's your green light.
The green walking guy does mean you have the right. If there's
right.
A crosswalk.
But if there's not any of those signs, you have the green light, the pedestrian does have the right of way in the crosswalk.
Yeah.
So it depends totally on the intersection.
You know when the hand starts blinking and you get the countdown?
Yeah. I'm running.
But that's when your guard needs to be up. But when it's the green guy.
It's a white guy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm colorblind. It looks the same.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It looks
you
the
have
same
no idea.
It looks the same as a green light. To me. It looks the same.
You're right on red. You have no idea what we're talking about.
I mean, the top light.
But no, it's happened. So we were out walking for the dogs and about to go. We had a green light. Somebody was making a right on red and just not looking at all. And, you know, if we didn't stop and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Would have just hit us. And it was so funny because it was, I'm assuming, a husband and wife in the car. Joe, the wife, was driving. Just pause there to let everyone guess. Oh. And the husband was the one who gave me the look like, yeah, she's a bad driver. Like, as they're cutting us off, as we're supposed to be in the crosswalk, the guy's looking right. I mean, we're as close as me and you, just looking at me like, yep, that's... Sorry, she's driving. What am I going
to
do?
See, what he should have been doing is telling her to stop.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let me tell you. If I'm driving, my wife will be the first to say, what are you doing?
Oh, I hate that.
But to be fair, I'll be the first one. You know, I'll be the same one. Like, why are you going? You don't have the right. Or why aren't you moving?
No, you know what?
I am a very vocal passenger seat driver.
803-0930. What are you like in the passenger? Joe, I have learned this years ago. You know what I do when it's bad? My head is buried in my phone if I'm in the passenger seat and my wife is driving, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to know what's going on. I'm not saying she's a bad driver,
right?
But everyone who's not you is going to be doing things that make you crazy. She never uses her horn. And I'm not saying, I very rarely ever use my horn, but there could be somebody about to sideswipe her. And she'll just be like, hey, well, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, that's what the horn is for, just to let them know. And never uses it. And again, I'm not saying she's a bad driver. I just cannot. Look, so I've just learned I take my phone out. I go like this. I don't look up. I don't look around at what's going on. If the kids are in the back seat, I'll turn around and look at the kids or something like that, because I don't want to be an annoying passenger. Just as much as it's for me, it's for her. Because what happens when I'm driving and she's in the passenger seat, I will get, people do it all the time. It doesn't even have to be a comment on your driving, but I'll be driving down a street and I'll hear, oh, she's pointing out like a blow up, reindeer decoration or something to one of the kids. But I just hear, oh, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? I slam it on the brakes. Like, oh, nothing. Just, that. Or, and anytime, like, watch out. Like, yeah, I got it. That kind of stuff drives me nuts. I don't want to be like that person. So, and I would prefer not to hear it.
Yeah. I can't bury myself in the phone.
She do it to you?
What's that?
Does she do it to you? Because she would not stop talking if she was doing the same thing to you.
Well, I have to say, my wife is a much better driver than I am. There's, of course. But I'm more like we're sitting at a light, right? And it'll turn green. Or I'm also Mr. Hey, that was yellow. You could have made it. I am big on you could have made it discussion. But again, yeah, she'll, and rightfully so. Now, again, I think I'm a much better driver than I was a decade ago. As I've said, I've not gotten a traffic ticket in over 6 years. But, there are times where she'll say stuff, and I do get, annoyed when, that guy's moving in front of you. Yes, I know. I see it. The thing I get the most upset about, because I can't get upset about people commenting on my driving because I'll comment on other people's driving. The most I get upset about is when someone tells me, hey, did you see that happening? Like, you didn't give me time to react. Again, maybe you don't think I will. If you don't think I'm going to react to someone merging lanes, you probably shouldn't be in a car with me.
Right. So if it annoys you, that's why I don't pay attention when I'm in the passenger seat and someone else.
But if it annoys me and they're still doing it, well, then it's just, hey, you got to get payback.
Just an escalation.
I will say, props to my dad. On the Virginia Tech trips, my dad does not drive a minute on our Virginia Tech trips, but he's like you, Brian. He is in his phone for 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
Buried into the phone. And you know what? I applaud him for that.
I do it for a reason. I don't want to see what's going on. I don't know any, that's, no, thank you. A lot of people, anytime you bring up driving, a lot of people on the text board, someone saying right on red and cruise control in the left lane should be outlawed. How many accidents have been caused from right on red? That's the, idea if you were listening to the story this morning. They say it's a lot. What do you change? Like, it's the question at the end of the day. To me, the question that's being asked by people who are doing this is, what are we more likely to get people to stop doing? Stop making a right on a red, or stop having their heads buried in their phones as they're crossing the street? And they're saying, well, we're probably more likely to get people to doing a stop on red because we're not going to stop everyone from being an idiot when they're on a bike or in a crosswalk. So that's why you're seeing it, in my opinion.
I will say my opinion on this changed 180 over the summer, because I, again, I was not distracted when walking this summer because I had my son with me. And the amount of times I had to back up quick in the crosswalk because a car was just rolling through the light. And I'm not Mr. Hey, add more laws. I would totally be on board if they said no more right on red. Or for certain times. Now you have the signs that will turn off, turn
yeah,
on.
Like so that's
Harlem and Walden. That sign turns on, turns off, so you don't have to read what times as you're driving. I'm good with that, but
I like those.
I mean, I walked multiple times every day this summer. And let me tell you, Brian, it would have been rare for a day that someone didn't roll through. And again, we're not talking about the busiest intersection in Williamsville. Roll through the light when it was red as I was walking.
I like the lights that go on and off, the no turn on red lights that are synced up to the crosswalk. Yes. I mentioned one on Niagara Falls Boulevard yesterday. I think that's a great solution. And I do think that people pay attention to the signs more than you would give them credit for. Case in point, on Sheridan Drive, the so-called Hawk signal. You know what I'm talking about? It's right by the, you know, close to where Ted's and Anderson's and, you know, all of that is on Sheridan Drive. It's that big crosswalk as part of the big rail trail thing. And I was certain, you know, as I was, I remember going to all the events where they were talking about putting it in. There's there. There's one on Main Street in Williamsville, too.
I was just going to say.
They were talking about the new type of signal, how it works, you know, what the different lights are. It's different from a traffic signal. And I remember going to every single one of these on the from inception of the idea to when they finally put it up on Sheridan Drive. And I just thought, no way are all these drivers, just decided against using any word. No way are all these people on the road going to understand what is going on at the signal. People are going to get hit. I thought, no way. How many problems have you heard or seen while you're at with those lights? I've seen zero.
I have seen one. Now, granted, I pass that every day, multiple times a day, Brian. I've seen one, and let me tell you, you could tell everyone in their car was staring at this guy. What is he doing? Brian, within seconds, an Amherst cop that happened to just be on the shoulder of Main Street was right on this guy. And it's the only time I ever saw anything. People are following it. And when it's blinking red, people are using the caution. They are stopping, right, but like, looking, it was, and going.
It was something completely new.
Yes.
There had not been anything like it. I've never seen one anywhere in my driving, anywhere in the U.S., or Canada, you know, like before it was up here, just completely new signals, and everybody just kind of inherently understood. I never thought it would happen, and it happened. And so I want to give people credit if you put that, you know, the no turn on red sign that goes on and off depending on what's going on the rest of the road.
Yeah.
I think people will follow it because I have faith after seeing people at the Hawk sign.
I do too. And you know, another thing about those crosswalks with the, what do they call it? The Hawk sign? Yeah. Seeing those, I think people know they're coming up. So you see less people on their phone. And by the way, you should never be on your phone when driving, especially in the village of Williamsville.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're talking about a small
space. You still see it a lot?
People on their cell phone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I don't. I'm not really looking for it, but I feel like I don't as much.
Maybe not on busy streets because I'm not going, you know, over 30 and looking at the person next to me. But I see it in parking lots all the time. I see, you know, people slam on their brakes because they almost hit a cart at the Wegmans parking lot. Like, you were literally just on your phone while shopping and you have to have it again. So I can't say I've seen it on the road. I've seen it in parking lots and on, like, residential streets.
The big screen in the car is just as distracting, though.
Oh, yeah.
You get, you know, switching around through apps and whatever, picking your music and all that kind of stuff.
And it's so funny. 20 years ago, we were talking about how distracting changing the radio station was. And now you have a tablet on your dashboard.
Somehow it's okay.
Yeah.
You can't hold your phone to your ear and make a call. But somehow a computer monitor on the dashboard that's interactive.
You can have your phones.
A-okay.
You can have your phone apps on your dashboard.
I don't understand that. But anyways, it's an interesting discussion. Keep it going. If you have your thoughts left over from yesterday, please, 803-0930, give us a call or text us this morning. The other thing happening, Joe, we talked about it in an interview in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. You can go back and listen to it over at WBEN.com or the Odyssey app. We heard about it all throughout the day. Another meeting on the 33 and some of the opposition to it. I think it's a fascinating topic, Joe, and I want to kind of put it in the perspective. Well, before I do that, there's two things, two like big picture items on my mind that I feel need to be conveyed. I want to start with number one, and we mentioned this during the interview this morning, where we had one of the organizers on of the meeting last night, and he said, you know, there were options on the table. And I stopped and I asked him, were there really options on the table? And, like, let's think critically about this. There were options that were presented, including doing nothing, the putting a lid on 3/4 of a mile. That's, you know, the proposed project right now. Filling it in completely, you know, doing some other things. There was like 5 different options on the board. But if we're really thinking about this, I mean, how this really worked, Were there ever other options on the table, or was there ever only one option that was going to get consideration? One, maybe two, if you include doing nothing. And the rest of them were just there to say, we did our due diligence.
Yeah, I think it was do or do nothing. Do this or do nothing.
When they mentioned the fill-in option, things like that.
That was never going to happen.
And he admitted as much there, speaking with Michael Gaynor, who was at the meeting last night. And he said, the fill-in wasn't really anything that was going to be seriously considered, probably. I think like you do have to kind of come to that realization that when you're talking about this 33 project, I really think there was only one option ever seriously considered, and that was putting the lid on it. The fill-in, anything else, it wasn't going to happen.
It was the lid or Western New York doesn't get the $1 billion. And you're hearing that from the governor now. The governor's saying, it's this project, or I can't promise the $1 billion will be spent in Western New York.
So there you go. Second part. It wasn't exactly in those words.
No,
but,
I'm paraphrasing, sorry.
Channel 2 had a story on this the other day, talking about the project, and it's something that I've been saying for a couple of weeks when we were talking about the 33, Joe, and that is, it is kind of an all or nothing. You know, we like to have the idealist discussion, but we never like to have the realist discussion. And I bring it back to when we were talking about the Bills Stadium, right? So the idealist discussion with the Bills Stadium was, we shouldn't give any money to someone who already has a lot of money to build something that's going to be used for their private business, right? And in this case, that was a football stadium. We shouldn't give the Pegulas money from the taxpayers to build a football stadium in Western New York. And that's the idealist discussion that inherently I think most people agree with, right? Like on the surface, I do think most people are generally agreeable to that. Hey, I don't like the idea of giving, whether it's the Bills, the Sabres, the Kansas City Chiefs, whatever. I don't like the idea of giving them money from the government to build a stadium. But then you have the realist discussion. We always talked about this when building the stadium. Well, the realist discussion is the state government has a lot of money. They could give, $300 million. What was the final? $600 million. What was the final total?
It was over $700 million.
They could give that total from the state. It doesn't matter how you break down, I guess.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. They could give this to the Pegulas to help build a new stadium. Or, realistically, what's going to happen? It's not going to be refunded to taxpayers. It's not going to go to buy every school student an iPad. It's not going to, all of a sudden go into the nurse's contract for all the different healthcare companies, right? Like, it's just going to be spent on another project somewhere else in the state. The money is going to be spent. The question is it going to be spent on this? Or is it going to be spent on maybe the racetrack in Belmont that the state built? Or something else, a bridge in Manhattan? And the realist discussion is you have to decide where you'd rather that money. Would you rather it here in Western New York to, again, no one likes it, but it's what happens, to keep the Bills in Buffalo? Because if this deal doesn't happen, teams move. Like, it happens. It's been shown. Or do you want it done somewhere else? And I think it's a similar discussion with the 33. We can all talk about, I'd rather spend the $1 billion on fixing up every street in the community, on doing this or doing that. The reality is the $1 billion is there for this project, or it's going to be building a bridge in Manhattan.
Right. And in my opinion, the unfair thing is the Bill Stadium, there's the obvious benefit, right? No one's questioning the benefit of keeping the Bills in Western New York, keeping New York State with their only NFL team. The $1 billion on the 33, it's a good idea, right? In theory, to undo some of the separating of neighborhoods in the past. But is Western New York going to get, or the city of Buffalo, going to get the $1 billion out of it? That's where I understand the comparison, Brian, but the Bills, we get the benefit, and we're going to see the benefit. With this, are we? Or, you know, I can't continue going back to, there's so many better things. I don't like the way it's been. Here's your billion. Oh, you don't want the thing that we've been shoving down your throat for the last 3 years? Okay, we'll go spend it in New York City.
The 8030930, and this is the question when we get back from the break and the news with Lucas. It's an if or. Do you want $1 billion to put a cap on the 33, or do you want $1 billion to build a bridge in Poughkeepsie? Do you want $1 billion to do this project in Buffalo, even though you think it's completely unnecessary? It'll look nice. Or do you want $1 billion to do some other project that might be great, it might be dumb, somewhere else in the state? 8030930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
So we're back here on WBEM, Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer, and we are talking about the 33 Project and a whole lot else here on WBEN. And Joe, you know, before the break, I was saying you have to have a realistic idea of what is on the table. And I don't think that filling in the 33 was ever seriously on the table. I think it was presented as an option, but it's just not something that it's going to happen right now or I think in the near future. And it's either this project is going to happen or nothing. And I think that is the question. What would you rather have happen? And by the way, I don't know if there's a right answer there. I'm not, you know, just saying like you have to say that, oh, well, you know, I'd rather have this than nothing. Maybe you'd rather have nothing. Like, that's fine. But that's the question that's on the table here. You made mention of the state kind of, you know, putting out there that, well, you know, this, the opportunity to spend this money is only going to be around for so long. And if this is not going to be an option, then we would have to look at taking the funds and completing another project in a different part of the state for, you know, basically the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, if you don't take this to do this project of putting a cap on the 33 for 3/4 of a mile, we're still going to spend $1 billion, but it's not going to be in Buffalo.
Right. By the way, do you think they'd ever say that to a New York City project? The money would definitely stay in New York City. It just shows, you know, obviously the...
Would they care? Like, it's another thing. No one would notice.
I mean, I definitely, personally speaking, and we've talked about this, Brian, I want the 33 to stay intact. I use the 33 to go downtown. So obviously the filling in option doesn't, you know, I'm no fan of. I just, when you put it that way, it does kind of confirm what we said before the break, Brian. When you sell it as a, you get $1 billion for this, or you don't get $1 billion, it just confirms this was their plan. The meetings were for show, and they are either going to go through with this 100%, or they're going to give in to the pushback, which means Buffalo will not see the $1 billion. And I think that's pretty sad, considering all that money could do in the city of Buffalo.
But that's the problem, because everyone's knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, that money could be, I'm looking at the top of our text board, you know, money could be used for much more important things around the city. And we've said it before, $1 billion, how many streets could you fix up with $1 billion?
Yes.
And I agree over 100%, 10,000%. Yes, I agree with you. But if you're looking at the reality of the situation, it's not what's going to happen. It just isn't. You're not going to take this $1 billion, say, hey, we don't like this project, and they say, okay, well, let's just spread it around and do some streets, or what's another project we can do here? No, it's just this is going to happen, or it's not going to happen. Or, you know, some other project will get done somewhere else in the state and they can have a debate about it.
And like you said, it's not going to come back in our taxes, right? We're not going to see this billion dollars. So if I was given a two-option question, which were my favorite in high school, I would say, Brian, go through the project. Because at least maybe there's a benefit to going through the project instead of the $1 billion going somewhere else in the state that we will never see the results of. So if I had to pick one or the other, and the only way Buffalo sees the $1 billion is this project, then let's go.
So I have an opinion on that, and we'll get to that right after we get to Chris in Boston. Chris, you're on WBEN. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. What are you thinking?
Again, I don't really know if I have really much skin in the game because I live out in the suburbs. But and again, if it comes down to, well, either you get the money for this project or nothing at all, I mean, I guess go forward with it, but I don't see, I think this is just, it's just another typical absolute waste of money at a cost of, again, roughly $1 billion for 3/4 of a mile, not even a mile, whatever. I don't see what it's going to solve. I think it's going to create more issues than help. I just think it's an absolute waste of money. I don't see what this is really going to accomplish at all.
Yeah, Chris, thank you for the call. And 803-0930 if you want to get in with BMAZ and Beamer. It's a waste of money. Would you rather waste money here or waste money somewhere else?
And that's going back to my point. I don't disagree with Chris. I think it's a waste of money. However, spend the money here. Because we're not going to, it's not going to change what we're putting into it if it goes somewhere else in the state. So you want to waste the money in Western New York, because at the end of the day, it's going to get wasted. And if the pushback for this, do you really think they're going to get pushback from this and then say, all right, Buffalo, we'll find another project in Western New York to spend the billion? No, New York State doesn't look at us that way. I'm telling you right now, it will be spent somewhere else. You'll never see the effects of it. So you know what? Waste the money in Western New York.
So there is the good point that someone brings up on the text board of, you know, at least you'll create local jobs for the amount of time it takes to build it. You know, that would have a positive economic impact here, sure. But here is where, you know, I kind of stand. So when you talk about, okay, so it's either this or nothing, it's either it gets done or it doesn't. And the last time we talked about this, Joe, I asked, how should it be weighted? You know, if you're making a decision on what to happen with the 33, and this was when we were including fill in, right? Like, yes, on the table of, you know, when you're talking about the 33, who should have a say? Should it be just people who live in the neighborhood around the 33? Should it be all of Western New York because we all take the roadway, right? Like, there's, and who should get what percentage of say? Like, should it be 50-50 split? Should it be 75-25 in favor of the people who live there, in favor of the people who don't live there but take the road? You know, there's a lot of questions that put in. If your proposition is, though, it's this project with the lid or nothing, and this project with the lid keeps the 33 expressway intact the way it is, I mean, aside from the construction, which is obviously going to have an impact on traffic, aside from that, the impact to traffic will be none because it'll just be the same. If that is what you're putting in front, I think the weight of that pie should 100% be with the people who live in that neighborhood. Because if people who take the 33, you know, like our caller, like you, Joe, like me, who the only reason we have skin in the game is because we take it as a road, if that road is going to exist with either option, then now it turns to, yeah, what do the people who live there want to see? And you have to be honest with the question. Do you want to see this or do you want to see nothing? And maybe, just maybe, the nothing comes with the caveat that you still have that pie in the sky of a fill-in, if that's what you really want, that would be an option down the line. And maybe that's the most important thing here to people thinking this. Like, maybe if you live in that area, you're thinking, okay, I don't want this, and I don't care that we're giving up the billion, and I don't care that nothing's going to be done, because it still keeps on the table, even if it's on a table way over there, it still keeps that option, you know, a glimmer of hope for a fill-in, which is what I want to see on the option. Okay, so maybe that's the most important thing, but if these are the options, do this project or do nothing, I think it has to be totally that community's decision, because now the only people it's going to impact are the people who live right there.
I don't disagree with that.
We'll go to Thomas in Cheektowaga on WBEN. Thomas, what are you thinking?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm an old, old person. I lived around that neighborhood when I was a kid. used to go to Humboldt Park. Everything wasn't going at Humboldt Park. We'd go up Humboldt Parkway to Delaware Park. It was a beautiful walk. It was a wonderful thing. Even as a kid, those tall, great trees, the open spots. Sometimes you find some kids playing. We'd play a little ball or tag or something. Some places people had the little garden plots into it. And I think it could be restored.
Would you want it to be completely filled in, just get away with the 33 Expressway, fill it in and restore the park that way?
Yep.
All right. So, Thomas, thanks for the call. If that's what you want to see, and there were great points being brought up by the University of Buffalo architect, to pull up his name really quick, Brad Wales, professor of architecture over at UB, who said that if you're really serious about the, because that's what gets thrown out with this product, we're restoring communities, we're bringing back the old vision. It's like, well, if you really want to do that and connect parks and do the old thing here in Buffalo, it cannot be done with this project. Because you can't extend the tunnel further at a different point because you're just going to dig into water.
Yes.
You're going to run into a creek and...
And I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They think this is like part one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that someone correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the state has maybe not explicitly said that, but said, well, the option might be on the table for furthering... this idea past the 3/4 of a mile. And here you have somebody who kind of knows what they're talking about, you would presume, UB architecture professor saying, no, that wouldn't be an option because you would be digging into a creek, which you can't drive through yet.
No
amphibious vehicles, only electric.
I'll tell you, you fill in this section of the 33. And now, this would never happen, Brian, so I'm saying this knowing it would never happen. Could you go back to 55 miles an hour on the 198? Could we do one?
Oh, do a little deal, swapsie.
Hey, fill it in. We'll get Humboldt Park back. We'll get the parkway back. But I can go 55 on the Skajakwita. Okay, let's talk.
I mean, what are you going to have to do? You have like a game show between two communities or something like that, football game to decide who gets their park back,
yeah,
and who has a highway running through it.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I don't know if you could really do one or the other. That would just be choosing.
And like you said, Brian, I mean, I do think at the end of the day, as much as I have my opinion, it does come down to the people who live there. Obviously, I don't want to add 15 minutes to my drive downtown, but I think the most important thing is the people who live there. And that's if you threw back in the fill-in, but that was really, honestly,
well, I don't
never
see. That's the thing, though. Like, if we're talking about fill-in versus this project, then I'm like, well, no, absolutely, we get a say because people in Western New York take that. How is the medical corridor impacted? How is ECMC impacted?
That's a good point. Yes.
How all these things? Then that weighs in. If you're talking about totally taking away the expressway, you have to get everybody's say in it. But we're not. We're talking about keeping the expressway and either putting a lid on it or doing nothing. And because you're keeping the expressway in this plan, I think it should be the only say of people who live right by it.
I agree. I also think that when you're talking, those are all magnificent points. But if Phelan ever came back to the table, and I like your weighted idea, I do think people who live there do still get a higher point of the say because they're there all every day. 365, they're on this section. But again, that's not on the table. It never was on the table. Interesting, the UB architecture. The state should have brought him in to speak at one of the public meetings. Can I comment on something a caller was going to say? And then he hung up before he could get on. John was going to say, the last time the state threw a bunch of money to rip up Main Street and put the train on Main Street, and that's what killed shopping downtown. I wasn't around then, so this is really just me on the outside looking in. But let me just say, shopping, retail in most downtowns the size of Buffalo did go to the suburbs around the same time. I think the train gets unfairly blamed. Now, should the thing have just stayed underground and not got above ground on Main Street? I agree with that. I still think we'd be looking at a very similar Main Street downtown today, even if the train wasn't there, just going off cities the size of Buffalo, and what happened to retail around the same time. Again, that's just
an opinion. I see your point. I would counterpoint. I would add to your point, if you wanted to make it stronger, you would say the big thing would be not putting UB downtown, you know, and not having a whole bunch of people just boom there living downtown. Like that would
awful decision.
Do it off. Yep. Like those two things combined might be the result. When it comes to the train, though, like you can't argue that, okay, the train goes on Main Street, no cars or anything on Main Street, and it dies off. And then in the last 10 years, you put cars back on Main Street, and all of a sudden, there's stuff all over Main Street again. Like, there is a definite correlation there with that Main Street project has been a huge boon to downtown.
That's great.
Because cars are back there, and businesses have followed.
So there could have been a way to do that from day one, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Should have been.
Huge mistake. I think the train gets unfair. Again, yes, Brian. You've opened up Main Street and downtown's coming back. A lot of downtown's coming back, right? It's not just Main Street, but you can't take away from what the project on Main Street has done. I still don't think we're talking about, you know, a department store downtown in 2023, even if the train wasn't on Main Street. And again, I'm just using other cities of Buffalo size around the country.
To the people around, if the 33 was filled in, where's all the traffic going? I mean, you'd go on other roads.
The 190.
Maybe, or because maybe I was thinking just that, take the street.
When we were talking about it, I'm thinking, all right, I have to replace going 55 on the. That's a good point as well. Just take the street that replaces it.
Yeah, I mean, you just drive along Humboldt Parkway, probably, or take another route. You drive on streets.
Yeah,
that's the argument. What would you rather have? You know, big picture, and the problem is, and this is why. You know, you go back to, oh, it's a stupid idea in the first place. Well, it's almost an impossible job for the state, right? Because you're trying to please everybody. You're trying to keep the traffic on there, right? Like that's one of the things that the DOT directive, maintain traffic flow when coming up with this project. You're trying to appease them. You're trying to appease people who want to return to the park. You have to come up with some option. What do you come up with? $1 billion hat. For the expressway. But like the thinking is there, and it's an impossible job, I think, to come up with a solution that pleases everybody. Because when you think about this, you know, oh, where's all the traffic go? It goes on the other streets. Why is it not great? It's the only people it's not great for is people who want to get from point A to point B in 15 minutes, right? It would be a boon for everything else. You'd do away with the expressway. It would be better for everyone living in that area. It would look much better. You'd probably have businesses popping up because of all the increased traffic.
But you're talking about streets that aren't fit to handle the capacity that carries the 33.
You would be building a whole new thing. You wouldn't be necessarily putting all the 33. You're right. Some people would take the 190. Some people would travel on Humboldt Parkway. Some people would go in other directions. There's a million ways. To get from point A to point B.
No, but we see this in Williamsville because people don't want to pay the 15 cents. So they take Main Street in Williamsville, and that's why it's so congested. You're going to see that on some of the city streets if they do away with the 33.
I think Main Street in Williamsville proves the point the opposite way. The 15 cents is a totally different discussion. There should be a toll-free zone on the thruway.
Yes.
But that people will drive on Main Street in Williamsville at rush hour, and it takes forever to go from one side of it to the other, proves that people would go on a parkway where the 33 is, time be damned, to get from point A to point B.
But they've been spending a decade now trying to ease traffic on Main Street. That's why the push by Brian Culpa and by Congressman Higgins, because they don't want that much traffic, because it's not meant for that much traffic on Main Street in Williamsville. That's the point I'm trying to make, is you'll have streets that aren't meant for that kind of capacity. That's why the Skyway is still here today.
You know what? I think, and we don't have anyone right here, I think people living on or around Humboldt Parkway would love to have that problem. Would love to have that. If they could look like Main Street in Williamsville with all the businesses and everything going on in there, because maybe, I don't know if it's 100% because of the traffic, but certainly has something to do with it because it's so visible. That's a great problem to have.
It is one of the reasons that the Skyway still stands safe. There's a lot of reasons, but one of them is there's not a good alternate route that's meant for that kind of traffic.
Right, there's not.
Right.
But there is to go where the 33 goes.
not meant to hold that kind of traffic.
There's many ways to get from point A to point B.
Not meant to hold that kind of, again, Parkside.
You would be rebuilding the whole Humboldt Parkway.
Parkside in the city of Buffalo has had a huge problem since the Skajakwa has gone down 35 miles an hour because it's not built for the kind of traffic that an expressway will carry.
You're adding lanes in each direction on Humboldt Parkway.
I still think it would be a disaster. But, again, this is if, and I don't think it's ever going to happen. So,
I don't know. This whole conversation is why somebody in an office just went, all right, just put a lid on it.
You're right. Right. This conversation's been happening.
I don't feel like having this conversation anymore.
Here's
so
the problem,
let's
though.
Just put a lid on it.
They're paid to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow. Hope everyone enjoys their Thursday bright and early. You got David coming up after the news with Lucas on WBEN.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.